morning, friends, and welcome to the green season of our church. We got our green banners out. We have our new summer liturgy all ready, and we will be slimming down a little bit for summer, give our musicians a little bit of a time off, so be aware that things will look a little bit different in our bulletin today. And welcome. It's good to be here together for this second Sunday after Pentecost. We will today encounter God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. Let us begin today with the words as printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite us all to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us,
gives you a new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world.
In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And at this point, we invite our children forward, but they're all on vacation right now, with school being out, and our great, warm, sunny first couple days of summer. So welcome, my children. Well, our gospel text today has Jesus healing somebody. And then they come back to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to follow you. So my question today is, where in the world can we go to follow Jesus? And I got our atlas. Because we want to figure out where we can go to follow Jesus. Anyone point to me, want to point to me a place we can go?
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere, so I can go to wherever that state is. Can I go there to follow Jesus? Sure, yeah. I can go on the East Coast, even maybe up in Canada if I have a passport. I would have brought the world map, but I didn't know not everyone has a passport, so we come from the United States. Well, that's a funny thing, right? Anywhere we stay. Well, again, our person who has been healed by Jesus says, I want to follow you. And you know what Jesus says to him? Go home. Go home. Because friends, that is where we follow Jesus the most. We don't have to go to an exotic place. We go home. And after the service is over today, I think at some point in this day, for our council members, it will be after council, but we will go home. Because home is the first place we follow Jesus out. And from home, we go out into the rest of the world. So, let us always remember our first vocation of following Jesus is literally wherever we go from here. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. We count to three, bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for sending us home.
Thank you for sending us home.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Hear now the word. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourselves, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together," says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is blessing in it," so will I do for my servant's sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found beginning on page 4 in your bulletin, and we will read that responsibly. I will read the light print, and please respond with the dark. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls, you have rescued me.
I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
For the Lord is not despised nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
A reading from the letter to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Praise be to God.
Country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted, the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion, for many demons have entered me." They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine that was feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them into these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herders saw what had happened, they ran off and told it into the city and the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave, for they were seized with great fear. So he got in the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged they might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, it's been a long week for, I think, everybody. Especially long for the Smithies household, who, as most of you know, we were up in Washington State for most of the week, attending the funeral for Jen's uncle, and then we returned, and then one of our parents who had been diagnosed with cancer ended his fight with that the other day. So it's been one of those weeks. And of course, for us all, in the backdrop of all of this, and then the crisis in the Middle East, and we're all trying to figure out what comes next. So it does feel for many of us that we've reached that event horizon, after which we don't know what comes next. It will all be out of everybody's control. And it happens to also be a week that I'm thankful we have this gospel lesson. It seems to speak into this very moment. And you'll also have to forgive me because the sermon was written this morning because of everything else going on. But how do we approach what is going on in the world right now? Well, I will first offer some words of advice. And it's the same words of advice I gave everyone when I was working in the prison who came to me seeking some kind of spiritual advice on how to deal with their day. I've asked them to open up and read Psalm 122, that great psalm of ascent as people enter Jerusalem to go up to the temple to worship God. And in there is a line that says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Now, this is not a Zionist prayer. This is a prayer for the peace of the city that houses the temple. And the temple is, as I always say, a symbol of who you are. So to pray for Jerusalem, yes, it is a place in the Middle East that has been torn for its whole history. So pray for the peace of that city. And as you pray for the peace of that, you are praying for the peace of yourself, for the peace of the world. And that is the mystery of prayer. It's not a checklist that we send off to Santa Claus of all the things we want. It's a communion with the divine that says, make me love what you love. Make me want what you want. Make that want in me to be the manifestation of the prayer. So friends, if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you are also praying that you yourself will be an instrument of peace. And so there is no greater advice that I can give to a correctional officer before they start their shift than to pray to be a person who can bring peace. And so may it be for all of us as well that in our prayers we may pray for peace. And in that prayer we might ourselves become peacemakers. There is nothing more important we can do than to pray for peace. And secondly, I'm actually thankful again for this text. Jesus reaches the other side and he is confronted by the man possessed by demons. And I hope you see the pattern here. The demons are afraid of the abyss. And in the Jewish mind, the abyss is at the bottom of the sea. This is why in the book of Revelations, we are told in the new creation, there is no sea. Because in the symbolic world, the sea was the abode of the dead. But notice the demons are afraid of the abyss. They beg Jesus to go into the pigs. Jesus allows them to go into their pigs. And what do the demons do? They rush headlong over the cliff, into the sea, into the abyss. And this is what the demons always do. They will always drive us to go off that cliff into the abyss, even though that is what they are most afraid of. And I know you're all do the demons mean? And friends, interpret that literally, figuratively, symbolically, metaphorically, psychologically. Interpret that word however you want. The meaning will still be the same. The pattern will still be the same. Same thing with the word abyss. Interpret that however you want. Literally, symbolically, metaphorically, psychologically, any other else way you want to. The pattern remains. That when we give in to the demons, when we give in to fear, it becomes the self-fulfilling prophecy. And we manifest the reality of which we are most afraid of. And I don't have to labor this point, because I believe in your own personal life, you all know that moment when you gave in to your own demons. You were afraid of something, and yet you were powerless to make that something not come true. I know it's a silly analogy, but when I started surfing, oh boy, was I afraid of wiping out. Because waves are really scary, getting tossed under the sea and going into what feels like a washing machine, going around and around, isn't fun. And I go out saying, please, the only thing I don't want to do is wipe out. Afraid of wiping out. And when you go out like that, I guarantee you, you're going to wipe out. Better yet, to aim high. Say, today, in this session, all I want to do is accomplish standing up on my board one time. Maybe you're going to accomplish that. So we aim high, friends. We don't seek to avoid what we fear the most, because fear is in to our own destructive patterns that we all have. And we end up always fulfilling that which we are afraid of. Now, I don't want to pontificate about the Middle East because it's complex, and we all, no matter what I say, there's going to be other factors around that, other perspectives, and you all have your own perspective, and I'm not going to try and talk you out of however you perceive it. But we do see this pattern, I think, being manifest. You have one nation afraid of being destroyed. Afraid of being destroyed specifically by a nuclear weapon. Now, friends, we don't know if this other nation is developing a nuclear weapon or not. Lots of perspectives, lots of people pontificate on that, but the truth is, we don't know. We do know the last time we were brought into a war with the fear of weapons of mass destruction, that was a lie. So it's fair to ask that question, to have those doubts. But the reality is, we don't know. The reality is also, to my point, it doesn't matter. You have one nation afraid of being destroyed, and they have taken that fear, whether it's true or not, and they've gone down the path that might actually manifest that reality. And now this whole world is on the brink of this cliff, and we don't know what comes next. God forbid anything else happens more. And so once again, pray for peace, friends. But the demons, whatever they are, always lead us to the cliff. And that's why I think Jesus in this story is the example for all of us. The hope, the gospel. We do not fight demons with the tools of the demons. You cannot fight hate with hate. You cannot drive out the shadow with shadow. We should have learned this as Americans the last two wars. You cannot end terror with terror. So Jesus comes to this man possessed by demons. And instead of throwing him in chains, throwing him in the tombs, instead of trying to beat the demons out of him, Jesus gives us is the path of love and healing and life. And so this is the story of the cross, my friends. In the path to destroy sin and death, Jesus doesn't come as a mighty warrior with a chariot, but comes as the victim, dies to sin and death, in order that life may come. Because life is the only answer to death. And it's the resurrection life, because he is God, that is able to defeat death. And so, friends, that life is now ours. Life, resurrection, hope, faith, love. That is who we eternally are. Because the new creation is coming. It's already here. We just need to see it. And this may not be the answer to the crisis in the world, but the truth is, the answer to the crisis has already come. This world will turn into a new creation when the presence of God comes fully. And we are all one in Christ. No Jew, no Greek, no male, no female. No slave, no free, no Palestinian, no Israeli, no Russian, no American. We are one. That is the future. That is the hope of the gospel, and that will come. All we need to do is to live into that reality. And as Jesus will say to this man healed, go out now and tell everybody the great work that God has done. Go out and proclaim it to everyone. Christ has set us free. Christ has united the world in love. This will be what happened. So what could we do? Bring someone to a meal. Break bread with them. Because here at the heart of our worship is the heart of our life, that the future of peace starts with a meal. So we break bread together, because Christ has come to unite the world, and we share that assembled together as we eat together. To go out, spread some love, break some bread. Eating is contentious in modern American society with people you don't like. So find someone you don't like and share it with them. Tell them what God has done in Christ Jesus. Because we are all one now. The world is turning to a new creation. And we don't bring that, but we get to participate in that. Because all that remains is faith, hope, and love. Any action you do, which is faithful, which is hopeful, which is loving, is an internal action. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. We pray for the Church. Clothe us in Christ, shower us in mercy, send us in love. Strengthen the faith and witness of Christians across the planet and Christians in our community. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for creation. Deliver the earth from disaster, bring forth life amid uncertainty, inspire wonder at all you have made. Sustain all people who delight in the well-being of your creation, farmers, agricultural workers, gardeners, bird watchers, conservationists, scientists, advocates, and policymakers. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations. Pave a way to justice, drown the forces of oppression, bring peace on earth. Give leaders the will to turn from war and violence. When people must flee their homes, guide them to safety. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for people in need. Satisfy all who are poor, soothe those in pain, accompany all who are sick, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Julie, Paul, David, the Scott Wilson family, Dean, Ricardo, Charles, Penelope, Mako, Mindy, Lynn, Elliot, the family of Michael Severinsen, Mike, Patricia, victims of war and violence, victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Mike Rawls.
Give perseverance to each of us living with mental illness and shield us from discrimination due to race, class, gender, or any other human distinction. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly. Listen to our cries. Come to our aid. Make us one. Weave among us the fabric of belonging so that we may rejoice in each person gathered here and enliven our proclamation of how much you have done for us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We offer our thanksgiving for all people who have died in faith. Keep them in your peace, comfort us in sorrow, raise us to new life. As we remember their faith and witness, may we trust your promise that we are yours forever. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Peace.
and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Church
Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all God's people, and you are all welcome to come and partake. And I think we are all know what we need to do or how to do this, so I will stir all the other instructions. But this is the table of God for all, and all are welcome here. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Give you peace.
Amen.